We are going to be in the book of Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter number 5. And we're going to work our way, hopefully, through verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Ephesians 5, verse 8 through 11. Let's pray, and then we'll read the text. And hopefully tonight there will be some things said that will be helpful to you, edifying to you spiritually, and, of course, glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to be back here again tonight. Thank You for those who are so faithful to come and who desire to be here to hear the Word preached in all of its truth. I'm grateful for that, and I pray, God, that You would bless them tonight, feed them, nourish them with Your Word. May they be satisfied in the truth of Your Scriptures, and may we be better clarified on who we are in Christ and what that means to be what You say we are. Lead us and guide us and direct us into Your truth. May the Spirit have His way. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "For ye," talking to those who are members of this church, saved by the grace of God, "for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. So just to do a quick summary of where we have been in this series of looking at what God says we are, so that we're not confused. We don't have to try to identify as something that we are not. We are absolutely, fully identified by God in His Scriptures. And so far, He has revealed to us that we are new creations in Christ. We are the children of God. We are lively stones built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices of praise that are acceptable to the Lord. We are His workmanship, saved by faith through grace, and that not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God, so that we have no reason to boast in ourselves, saved in order that we may walk in the good works that He has ordained for us to walk in before the foundation of the world. So that's what we are. New creations, children of God, lively stones, His workmanship. Those are the four that we have examined so far in this series. Tonight, hope you saw it in the text, we're going to look at God's classification of us as light. The section in here in Ephesians, starting at Ephesians 5:5, down through verse 21, deals with various motivations. God is kind, and God knows that His people face many temptations in this life. He knows that our hearts have many inclinations to sin. And so He is going to give us numerous arguments that we can use in arguing with ourselves and arguing against the world and why we should pursue godly living. I hope you agree with God. Those who are saved by the grace of God should live as God prescribes in His Scriptures. In verses 8 through 14, or 8 through 11 that we'll look at tonight, He is reminding us or causing us to remember who we were apart from the grace of God, and then to consider what our identity is now after having been saved by the grace of God in Christ. So, as a motivation for Christian living, He deals with our identity in Christ as that motivation. And the point of the motivation for Christian living is simply remember who you were apart from grace, apart from Christ. Remember who you were and who you are, and live like who you are. Know who you are and live like who you are. Amen? So let's look at this, if we could tonight, these few verses, and I'll try to organize my thoughts under three headings that would be easier for me to try to communicate these truths to you. Number one, the command that is given to these believers. The command is simply, walk as children of light. The word walk is a command of God. You need to walk as children of light in light of you once were darkness and now ye are light. So remember what you were apart from Christ, apart from grace, and think about who you are now by the grace of Jesus Christ and live out that reality that has been revealed to you. Be who you are by God's grace. That's Paul's one point here. Remember who we were, reflect on who you are, and live out who God has made us to be in Christ. Now notice what Paul says. Paul says you were once, formerly, darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So Paul is certainly trying to get us to remember who we were formerly. And who were we formerly? We were darkness. Say amen. Amen. That's not some of us or most of us, that's all of us. We were darkness. And notice that Paul doesn't say that we were in darkness. He says we were darkness. Say amen. So, whatever we are is how we will behave. Say amen. Darkness behaves like darkness. And you were darkness. That's who you were before Christ saved you. But now you are no longer darkness. You are what? You're light. And He doesn't say you're in the light. He says you are light. Say amen. Now, to better understand this, I think we need to sort of remember that light in Scripture symbolizes certain things, at least two things. First of all, it has an intellectual meaning. Secondly, it has a moral meaning. Intellectually, it refers to the truth. Light refers to truth. Say amen. When we receive truth, we receive light. And morally, it refers to holiness. So it is sort of an intake-outtake type of thing. It is the truth, and it is holiness. It is intellectually the truth that produces in us the holiness of life. Say amen. Living as light, living in light as light, means that we live in the truth and in holiness. Are you with me? Light doesn't live in darkness. Light can't be darkness. Darkness can't be light. So because that is what you are, right? You're not just in the light. That's who we are. We are light. In contrast, darkness refers to ignorance and evil. So light and darkness are in contrast, right? Light and darkness are in contrast. It is the contrast between truth and holiness and ignorance and evil. And what I want you to see there is this. Those who are ignorant of God, not knowing God, their behavior is evil. Those who are light and have the truth of God, their lifestyle is holiness. Are you with me so far? This is important. Who we are and what we do are connected and correspond one to another. When the Lord saves us, He not only justifies us, He does justify us. He not only declares us righteous, He not only freely forgives our sins because of what He has done on our behalf, but He transforms us. He moves us from being darkness to being light. It is the change that comes about through the work of God. He brings us out of darkness into the light. He makes us no longer darkness, but He makes us light. He changes us from the inside out. Now, that doesn't mean that we stop doing everything that we've ever done wrong and start doing everything that's right. That doesn't mean that's the way it happens. Say amen. It doesn't mean that at all, because all of us struggle with sin, yes? But what it does mean is that we are fundamentally morally changed so that we realize that this world is not about us, it's about God and His glory. Amen. And that changes everything. If that one truth could be gotten through to people, it would change everything. When you realize none of it is about you, all of it is about God and His glory, that changes how you think and how you act. And if you are light, that's how you are to think. That's what you are to know. And it is how we are to behave. Our enjoyment, our pleasure, our satisfaction in this life, our meaning, our fulfillment is not found on centering the world on ourselves. It's on focusing on the one who is first, best, greatest, and the center of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we decenter ourselves, when we take ourselves out of the center and give all praise to God and pursue Him in His glory, it is precisely in Him that we do find our satisfaction, our pleasure, and our joys. Not in things, our people, our popularity, our positions, our possessions, but in Him. And so the person who is transformed by the grace of Christ has found that Christ is at the center of everything, and that begins to work out a transformation in every area of life, a transformation that quite honestly extends the entirety of our lifetime. The Christian continues to struggle with sin, but the Christian is different from the one who is centered upon himself. You were darkness. You did center everything on yourself. Say amen. You did find your pleasure and your happiness in things, possessions, people, places. You were darkness, but you're no longer darkness. You're now light. You were darkened by the confusion that you were at the center of the universe, but now you realize that there is a God and you are not God. So the command is, remember who you were. Recognize who you are now and act accordingly. Say amen. Do not act as if you were in darkness, because you're not in darkness anymore. You were that, but you're not that anymore. You are light, and you are the children of light. Make sure that your life accords with who you are currently, not who you were previously. Say amen. Now, if you were like me and were honest, you would know that before Christ saved you, you did all sorts of wicked and evil things. That's because we were in darkness. That's how darkness operates. That's how lost people operate. But we sit here tonight claiming that we're not that anymore, right? Claiming that God has saved us, and He hasn't just saved us and left us in the dark. He has saved us and transformed us into light. So that those things that we desired, those things that we found pleasure and happiness in, those things that we found joy in, no longer bring us that joy. So there are things that we could do, or places we could go, or people that we could be with that we don't, not because we think harshly of them, but because we simply don't desire those things anymore. We have realized that we were created for Him, created by Him, for Him, to worship Him, to enjoy Him forever. So remember who you are. Remember that you are now a child of light. And live like you're a child of light. Live like what you say you are, not like you were. That is what Paul is saying. Let me stop there and just say some things about. Over the years, I've seen people come and people go, but you know, some people come and they're all enthusiastic about church and things like that, and then before long, they're right back doing the same things they used to do. Is that the evidence of salvation? No. Because if God saves us, we are what? We're light. No longer are we darkness. So the command is live as who you are. That would be a good thing for these people in our country, wouldn't it? You're a man. Live like a man. You're a woman. Live like a woman. Live like you are. Number two. Not only do we see here the command for believers to walk as who they are, but there is also in verse 9 the characterization of believers. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, here's the question. What does it look like to live as light? What does it look like not only to live in the light, but live as light, transformed from darkness? What are the results of being children of light? What does it look like? And Paul says it looks like this: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those are the marks of those who are light. You live with goodness, righteousness, and truth. So it's not what people say they are, right? If we are children of light, the reality of our salvation is manifest by the fruit of that light. Say amen. It is The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is a spirit of generosity that desires to be a blessing to others. It is a word that means and actually touches other people with goodness. So you can look at yourself tonight. If you're a child of light, you're going to walk in light. Amen. If you're light, you're going to be light, and you're going to walk as a child of light. And the first thing that should be evident in your life is goodness in terms of others. Righteousness is activity which is right in the sight of God. So righteousness has something to do with your relationship to God. We obey and we don't deviate from His path of holiness. Truth is integrity. So that what's inside is what's outside. Say amen. No hypocrisy. What's inside is outside. So that your motives and your actions are true to one another. It means integrity and honesty and reliability and trustworthiness. And what I thought when I read those three characteristics of those of us who are in the light, I thought those are words the Bible uses to describe God. God is good. Say amen. God is righteous. And God is truth. Those three things that we are to manifest because we are light are three of the attributes of God. So I think what Paul is saying is that the fruit of being a child of light is actually wanting to be like your Heavenly Father. Because our Heavenly Father is good and just or righteous and true. He is filled with integrity. He is righteous. He is good. So Paul is reminding us, I think, to remember you're not just a citizen of God's kingdom, but you are a child of God's household. Say amen. There's a difference between being a citizen of the country or a citizen of the kingdom and being a child of the king. Can you say amen? You're a child of the King, and one of the displays of the fruit of light is that we want to be like our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father is good, and He is righteous, and He is true. Therefore, we manifest goodness, righteousness, and truth in our dealings with one another. Say amen. What is it that God is doing with us currently in the process of our salvation? Well, He's making us more like Christ. And Christ is the exact image of God the Father. Say amen. So if we are light and God has transformed us from darkness, then there will be the manifestation of goodness and righteousness and truth. Say amen. Number three, the commission of believers. The commissioning of believers. Verse 10 and 11. Well, let me read it all just so we make sure we're following along in the context of it. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving you're walking in the light, you're manifesting goodness, righteousness, and truth is the proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we have been transformed from darkness to light. We are to walk in light, walk as who we really are, manifesting goodness and righteousness and truth, so that we may carry out our purpose, our commission. Now, the word proving here is a word that means to verify. To verify what is acceptable to the Lord. What he is saying here, I think, is that we should not just teach what is acceptable to God, but we ought to live out what is acceptable to God. And our behavior, our manifestation of goodness and righteousness and truth, ought to verify the reality that God has done something magnificent in our lives, taking us from darkness to light. It is the joy, I think, of being a Christian, to be a living example of God's truth, to be a living verification of what is pleasing to God. Should we not live a life that is in accordance to His Scripture as light? Some people say, well, how do I know I'm a Christian? Or how do I know this person's a Christian? It's verified in fruit. Say amen. If you are trying to prove your salvation and you say, well, let's see. I'm religious. I go to church. I remember way back then I made a decision. I got baptized. If you have to speculate, you're not doing it the way the Bible says do it. If you have to have a date in which you were saved or a date in which you are baptized to comfort your own heart about your own salvation, you're certainly not doing it the way the Bible says you should do it. You prove what is acceptable to the Lord. You should be able to verify your salvation by looking at your life. Not your life back then, your life today. You don't need a past date, you need today's date. Where are you with the Lord today? Do you have that which verifies that you are doing that which is pleasing to the Lord? It ought to be there. It ought to be in me. It ought to be in you. If you do the deeds of the light is in you. And a child of God should bear some resemblance to his Father. We ought to be willing to bring ourselves to the light to prove by our living, to verify in our life that we are light. Say amen. It doesn't matter if I tell you you are light. It doesn't matter if you say you are light. You have to have those things scripturally that prove that you are light. So he says, look, the contrast is clear. You're not that anymore. You are light, so you should live like you are light. And I shouldn't say you should live like you are light. You will live like. And if you're really living it, then here are the characteristics, goodness and righteousness and truth. And these things that are birthed in you that you bear will become the verification to you and everybody around that you are a child of light. Now, there are some people that can look at trees and tell you what kind of tree that is. Now, I can look at a pine tree and tell you it's a pine tree. But beyond that, I probably can't tell you much what kind of tree it is. But if you get into the fruit trees, I can tell you what kind of tree that is. Not by looking at the bark, or not by looking at the tree, but by looking at the what? The fruit. And if you say that's a peach tree, and I go over and there's apples hanging off the limbs, it's not a peach tree. Say amen. No matter what you say, it's not a peach tree. It's a what? It's an apple tree. That analogy is used in Scripture over and over and over again. Our fruit verifies to ourselves and to everyone else who we truly are. In contrast to manifesting this fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth, proving that which is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. Now, I have to talk to you tonight a little bit about relationships that we have with lost people. Because lost people are darkness, are they not? And lost people do evil deeds, do they not? And Paul says here we are to have no fellowship with that. Say amen. In other words, he says we are different than that. Right? We are far removed from that. We're over here trying to verify the life of God is in us, and they're over there involved in evil and wickedness and sinfulness. That's what I was, but I'm not that anymore. Now, the point is not that we're to have absolutely no connection with lost people. That's not the point. The point is we're not to indulge ourselves into their practices. In other words, we're not to get involved in their sins. Because we should be producing what? Goodness, righteousness, truth. So I can't put myself in a position where I will get involved in their sinfulness, their unfruitful activity of darkness. Paul's saying, don't get involved in the ignorance of the world toward God. Don't get involved in the immorality of the world toward God. In other words, he says, your relationship to the lost world is to reprove them. Do you see that? Not to fellowship with them, not to include yourself in their sinfulness, but to reprove them. So I am commissioned and you are commissioned from God as light to reprove those who are darkness. What does that mean? Reprove means to scrutinize or to examine carefully. It means to bring to light, to expose. What are we to this world? Light. Say amen. God has made you light. You are light. You're not trying to be light. You're not a little 25-watt bulb trying to be a 60-watt bulb. You're not a 60-watt bulb trying to be a 100-watt bulb. You are light. God has made you light, rescued you from darkness, made you light, and you now are in the darkness of this world, and you are to shine. And in your shining, you are exposing the wickedness and the darkness and the sinfulness of this world. We're not to get involved with the world. We're not to become friends with the lost. They're not to be who we hang out with, because we ought to be exposing their sins every time we're with them. And how long do you think they'll want you around if you're exposing their sins? The only reason they're going to want you around is if you are included with their sinfulness. Say amen. I can remember being in darkness, can't you? I had an aunt. She would come by periodically. She lived several miles away from my grandmother, but she would come by periodically, and I knew when she came by, she was going to start talking this God stuff, this church stuff, this Jesus stuff. And you know the last thing I wanted to hear? God stuff and Jesus stuff and church stuff. Last thing I wanted to hear. But I knew when you could hear her car pull up in front of the house, I would just say, oh my Lord, I got smart. When she pulled up the front door, I would go out the back door. And I would just be gone. Why? I didn't want to hear that. Say amen. I didn't want to hear it. Do you think people are different today? What she was doing was exposing my sinfulness. What she was doing was exposing my darkness. What she was doing was exposing my wickedness, my lack of desire for God, my hatred toward the Lord. She was exposing me. We don't like to be exposed. Say amen. If you have a cockroach problem, you know that deal too. You flip the lights on, where are they going? They're not standing there waving at you. Back to the darkness because you now have exposed them. That's what our commission is. I'm not to hold hands with the world. I'm not to be friends with the world. I should not have lost people as my good friends. My role, my commission to those people is to expose them. How do you expose them? By being the opposite of them. By bearing forth goodness and righteousness and truth. Because living as children of light will always mark us off as being absolutely different from the children of darkness because we expose their sins. Why is that important? Here's why. No one gets saved unless they come to God. Amen? Amen? No one gets saved unless they come to Christ. Come to God through Christ. And in coming to God through Christ, you must repent of sin. Say amen. Nobody knows what sin is unless somebody exposes it. Say amen. Amen. It is not evangelism to be tolerant of people's sinfulness. Amen. Say amen. It is not that we are just to love them and never talk about their sins. It is evangelism to make them face the fact that they do have sin. That the only hope that they have is that the light would shine and make their sins manifest to them. That's why God has made us lights to the world. To expose the world of their sinfulness and their need of Christ as Savior. So he says here, and the command is clear, you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk in the light. And as you walk in the light, you are going to walk as children of goodness and righteousness and truth, and you are going to prove what is acceptable to the Lord, and you are not to do anything have anything to do with those things of darkness, but you are to expose what they do because it is shameful things, and you are the only light they may ever have that will expose it. What are you? No confusion. You're light. God has made you light. You no longer are darkness. That's what you were, but you are light. Walk as you are light. Walk as you are. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit in goodness, in righteousness, in truth, proving that which is acceptable and pleasing to the Lord, and exposing those who are sinful all around you. That's our commission. Say amen. Let's pray.